We'll start off tonight. Oh, hello. I need to. There we go. Just show you that picture. They say a picture speaks a thousand words, and there is a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that tree is flourishing. There's leaves you with no doubt that that is a very healthy tree, and it's because of where it's planted, right by the rivers of water. And we will not this week, but in a couple of weeks' time, we'll come back to this this rivers of water and the tree. But for right now, I want to say that Psalm 1 is not randomly placed in the Psaltery. Psalm 1 sets the foundation for the practicalities of living the Christian life. You can't walk with the ungodly, and you can't sit in the seat of the scornful, and be at peace and live a successful, abundant Christian life. You have to be separate from that. God says, come apart and be separate, saith the Lord, and then we'll be the recipients of God's blessing. Then the psalm switches from the negative and goes on to talk about the things that goes on to talk about the things that will bring about God's blessing. And I want to focus on that word blessing tonight. And what I'm just going to do here is I hope this works okay. Gone too far now. Here we are. I'm going to play this little clip for you. This is a very beautiful clip. I just hope I've got the sound right, but let's see how we go. Can you hear it?
Yep.
And give you peace.
Pretty good, huh? That song came from Numbers 6, 23 to 26. It's the great Aaronic high priestly blessing upon Israel. And we will be coming back to this, but it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Mm. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And if there's a lot in that. And we'll go mining later on and see if we can't extract some gold nuggets out of that for you. That'll be a great encouragement. So when we say to one another, the Lord bless you, God bless you, it's become amongst Christians almost a see you later. You're seeing somebody and you're walking away and saying, God bless you, mate. And it's very superficial. It's not wrong. It's just very superficial, because when you say God bless you, we go back to this Psalm 1. It said, blessed is the man. And as Christians, we have a peculiar privilege to live in a state where God blesses you as an individual. And when we say God bless you, what I want to be able to do is I want you to walk away from tonight and say, that is a fabulous thing to say to someone. That is a really deep and precious thing to say to someone, and I don't say it lightly. When the Lord blesses us, what happens? What does it look like when God blesses you? Well, he will keep you. He makes his face shine upon you. He acts graciously towards you. He lifts up his countenance upon you. Can't wait to get to that one. And he'll give you his shalom. And, you know, if you say, what does shalom mean? The average punter is going to say it means peace. It does mean peace, but it means so much more. It's the context of that peace that's really significant. Now, in Psalm 32 and verse 1, we find this verse, blessed is the man, number one, whose transgression is forgiven, and number two, whose sin is covered. Now, you have to understand, this is Old Testament. This is before the time of Christ. So here we have sin that is covered, and it remained covered. And as an Old Testament saint died, he went to Abraham's bosom. And in Abraham's bosom, his sin was covered. He was safe. Jesus died. And with the thief on the cross, he went to Abraham's bosom. And at the point that Jesus died and entered into Abraham's bosom with that thief, all of that covering was removed, and the sin was then forgiven. The sin was then completely wiped out as far as the east is from the west. It's a beautiful thing. It's like a wedding ring. It's eternal. There's no end to it. It goes round and round and round, and you can't ever reach the end. So the blessing from Psalm 32 and verse 1 is forgiveness. The blessing is a clean heart. David cried out to God after his sin with Bathsheba and said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And this verse in Psalm 32, this verse 1, says that the man is blessed whose transgression is forgiven. How do we get forgiven? We come to God in confession and repentance, and he offers us forgiveness. Forgiveness opens the door to blessing. That makes sense? Mm. It opens the door to blessing. This blessing, the blessing of this man from Psalm 1, is made possible by forgiveness. Unless there's confession, repentance, and forgiveness, blessing is out of reach. That door is not available, not open. And it's our confession that opens that door. The original meaning of the word blessed in Psalm 1:1 comes from the Hebrew word esher, you just knew we had to throw one of them in, didn't you? So it comes to the word Escher, and at one level, Escher means to be happy. To be blessed is to be happy, but we can't leave it at that level, because it's not just to be happy, but it's to be looked upon by God with his favor. It's way deeper than happiness. You know, happiness is one of those fleeting things that you can be happy one minute and not happy the next. But when that happiness is driven by God looking upon you with favor, when we get to countenance, you'll understand this a little bit better. Then this word Escher is saying that God, I'm happy because I know God is looking upon me with favor, and that's made possible by forgiveness. Beautiful. The word Escher comes from a root word named Asher. Strange language, isn't it, Hebrew? The basic definition of this root word is Asher now, is to go, or to go straight, to go on, to make progress, or to advance. It's very much rooted in the context of freedom to move forward into God's favor. That's where that word comes from. So to be blessed is to be the object of God's favor, to move forward and advance in a straight line in the framework of that favor as we make our progress through life in the spirit. You know, the beautiful thing about life, and I was just this morning, I was going to spend quite a bit of the day, and I did, in Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is really wrecking my head. I had some things in about Psalm 8 verses 1 and 2 I wanted to solve and resolve. And, you know, I nearly had a shout in Baptistical fit here later on in the day, because it was just such a tremendous blessing to study this in preparation for 2 or 3 weeks down the track. But, you know, I prayed that more in the morning, and I asked God specifically. I said to God, would you please just teach me something more about you today? If I can just grasp one thing about you today. And the Lord said, oh, here's half a dozen. Well, one, I'll give you six, because everything he does is in abundance. And it was a great morning. I can't wait to share it with you. I've got it all ready to go. We could go till midnight, but maybe you probably wouldn't want to do that. So we'll wait for a couple of weeks. Let's look at an example from the Old Testament here. Leah, the husband of Jacob. Now, there was a pair for you. But Leah, at the birth of her second son was born through Zilpah, her maid. This is a strange thing. I don't understand. I really don't understand this whole thing. If these people, Abraham and Jacob and all, if they'd have come by my tent for counseling, there wouldn't have been any of this nonsense going on. I would have told them one man, one wife for life. That's it. No, none of this concubine cucumber stuff. But in the Middle East, in Israel, it was a terrible shame for a woman not to have a baby. Having a baby was the evidence of God's blessing. God's Esed was evidence in having a baby, but not just any baby, had to be a boy. And I'm sorry, ladies, but I have to bring that out because of this whole thing. But God loves you just as much as he loves us boys, in a different way here at this time of life. But you have to understand where we are now. We are right now in the dispensation of the patriarchs, and life was very different. And Jacob's eighth son, born to him through Zilpah, the maid of Leah, and Leah named him. Zilpah didn't get to name him. She just got to be the incubator. And the baby was born, and it was Leah's baby, in legal terms. And she named him, Asher, which of course is one of he was the father of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Asher means bringer of happiness. She was happy. And she said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. Now go back to what we said about these Hebrew words. She's happy. I'm going to get to move right on. I'm going to get to be able to go straight and make an advancement in my life. I'm happy because I've got this baby. And the daughters, in other words, the women of Israel, will call me blessed, the recipient of God's favor. See how that fits together? So the evidence of God's favor is that she's had a baby boy, even though it was her handmaid that, you know, put up with the morning sickness and all of that. You all right so far, you guys?
Yeah.
Haven't lost anybody yet? No? All right, good. I don't want to lose anyone. So in Psalm 1:1, the man of God is blessed and happy to be on the straight path of God, delighting in his laws and his ways. So he's on the straight path. He's going straight forward. He's going on. That's what the word means. And we notice that his roots, the further he goes in his life and the deeper he goes, his roots will go deep in God and not be swayed by the wicked. I saw in Melbourne, there was a terrible storm there a couple of days ago, and there was this one tree, this really big tree, and it was just ripped out of the ground. But what I noticed was that the root system was superficial. It was big, it was a big root system, but it went out in a great big circle, but it didn't go very deep. And when the wind blew and it got rugged, overwent this massive tree. That's not the way it is with God. You see, great oak trees don't go over. You know why? They have tap roots. Their root goes deep into the earth. And here, as we walk with God, and as we walk in favor with God, our roots as Christians will go deeper into God the longer we live, deeper and deeper and deeper into God the longer we live. And a bloke that we know who is now in heaven, is a missionary. He was in Central Australia, and he got a blowout. And he's out in this 40-something degree heat. You know, he's already a bloke in his late 60s. He's out in this heat, and he's got to change his tire, and he's jacking this thing up and changing it. And his wife said later, he kept all I could hear him saying was, "More grace, Lord, more grace." he had lived so long walking with God and loving and serving God. All he saw, he didn't see the problem. He just saw the need for more grace. And anyway, he got his tire, managed to get his tire changed, and went on to the next missionary work. So the walk of the wicked, the man who is blessed, he doesn't walk with the wicked. He doesn't go on the path of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. We'll look at those next week, but a scoffer is somebody who makes fun of God, an atheist, in other words, who says the most disgusting things about God. Well, the man who is blessed doesn't sit with him. The man who is blessed has turned his back on that crowd and walked away. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, I want to just go back to that slide. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. When you say to someone, God bless you, this is what you're asking God to do. This is what it looks like. If God takes you at your word and you mean it, this is what it looks like for God. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's do them one at a time. The most conspicuous thing in this Aaronic blessing is the repeated use of the covenantal name of God, which is Yahweh. Always, whenever the word Yahweh, the tetragrammaton name of God, is used, it's found in English. It's found as Lord, but it's all in uppercase capitals. Anytime you see uppercase capitals in the Old Testament, it's actually the name Yahweh. The Jews and the Jewish theologians will actually replace that with Hashem, which simply means the Lord. H-A is the, and then an apostrophe, Shem is God. So Hashem, because they don't want to say that name. That name is too holy for them to say. And so it appears in all capitals. The repetition emphasizes the source and focus of the blessing. So it's when the Lord bless you, this is from our Father in heaven. This is what you're asking God to do. Now, try not to get lost here. This gets a little bit sticky. So try and hang with me. So each line begins with God's name. And it's followed by two verbs. Okay. So the Lord, there's Yahweh, the Lord, bless, there's the first verb, and keep, there's the second. Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, the first line in verse 24 captures the heart and sum. The Lord bless you and keep you, and everything flows from that. So let's have a look at it and see if you can work it out. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Line two in verse 25, that expands the word bless. That explains more deeply the word bless. And verse 26 expands the word, to keep. So keeping you and blessing you and keeping you. The sequence of these two verbs in lines two and three are very significant. Because God blesses you and then he keeps you. God doesn't lose people. You know, I lose stuff all the time. I lose stuff. It's unbelievable. Robin asks me constantly, where are the car keys? I got no idea. They must be in the house because the car's here. It's about as far as I can go with that thing, you know. But here we have God's blessing. This is the happiness. This is God's favor. And he moves towards his people. And he holds them in his hand and he keeps them. It's a beautiful thing. Mm. So these two verbs, bless and keep, work together like this. Mm. They mesh together like that. So it's God. That as they come together, it's God moving towards his people, and try and get the mental picture of God moving towards his people to bless them and to put his arms around them and to protect them and to keep them and hold them for himself. And why is that? Because he's a jealous God. Mm. He's a jealous God. And nobody can snatch you out of the Father's hand. He's got you. I'm glad he's got me because I reckon I'm a bit of a wriggle worm. You know when you got a baby in your arms and they wriggle?
Mm.
They're trying to get loose?
Yep.
Well, you just hang on to them. And the more they wriggle, the tighter you hold them. That's how it is with God. Now we go to the Lord make his face to shine upon you. It's beautiful. God's face is a metaphor for his loving presence. Now, remember, we just said he's moved towards his people. He's put his arms around his people, and now his face is shining upon his people. See the progress?
Mm.
This is his loving presence. When God shines his face upon us, his light infuses our hearts and minds with the knowledge that we are his precious child. I was today was actually the anniversary of my father's birthday. Dad's been in heaven for quite some time. But I can tell you, I had a pretty blessed childhood. I had a good childhood, and I had a great relationship with my father. There was never any question about divorce in our family. There was never any question about my father's commitment to my well-being. I always knew he had my back. And so it is with God. When his face shines upon us, his light infuses our hearts and minds with the knowledge that we belong to him. I was telling somebody the other day about the, oh, it was Julie. I was telling Julie because her sister's a psychiatrist, the poor lady. And I said, you know, this young fella, he's 18 years old. He goes off to a meeting and he gets saved and he gets a good old African dose of salvation, you know, and he's ready to rock and roll and he's telling everybody about this Jesus. And his mum and dad got a bit worried about him and they said, listen, we want to get you to go and see a psychiatrist, you know. You keep talking about, you know, you have this knowledge that you belong to God and, you know, we need you to get that sorted out. And he goes off to this psychiatrist and the fellow says, So, son, what's your address? He said, well, I've got an address here on earth and I've got an address in heaven. Which one are you talking about? Poor old psychiatrist, he got a little bit rattled by that and he said, okay, son, let's go to your date of birth. When were you born? He said, well, I was born once and I've been born again. So which one are you talking about? this guy's getting a bit worried and he says, okay, well, look, I'll tell you what, this is getting a bit silly. He said, just tell me about your dad. What is your father's name? He said, well, I've got an earthly father and a heavenly father. Which one are you talking about, man?
Tough to medicate.
By the time that kid got finished with that psychiatrist, he was making an appointment with his psychiatrist. You see, the world can't understand us. They don't understand us. How is it possible, you know? How is it? And sometimes I don't understand it either. You go outside and you look up at the stars and you realize the enormity of the distances and the whole thing. And you're staring up at the stars, you think, what is man that you're mindful of? Why would you bother with us? I said to my wife today, what is man that God is mindful of? I said, why does God even look upon you? She said, oh, he looks upon me because he loves me. she had it pretty right. Sometimes when I need to get my feet back on the ground, I just go and have a talk to Robin, you know, and that usually does it for me. The next thing in blessedness is, and be gracious to you. To be gracious to you is to be favorably inclined to you. And there it is again. Favorably inclined to you comes from the word esed. And it's deeper than just being favorable. It points to being compassionate and merciful. In the Greek language, this word, the parallel word in the Greek language is derived from another word that means to furnish what is needed. If you get nothing else out of tonight's little study here, it was worth tuning in just to hear that. When God is gracious to you in this blessing, he's favorably inclined towards you, he's compassionate and merciful to you, and he is expressing to you with this, I'm going to furnish, I'm going to provide for you what is needed in your life. Maybe not what you want. What you want and what you need are usually two different things. But what you need, God will provide. He cares deeply for his children. Now we get to this lovely one. And and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. You could sort of skip over that and look at that and go, I don't quite know what that means. Here's what it means. This implies his acceptance of you. It implies his special focused thought and care on you and you alone because your sin is forgiven. How good is that?
Mm.
Now, our friend Esther is from Adelaide. Are you not, Esther? You're an Adelaide girl? Yeah, she comes from Adelaide. And for whatever reason, she's gone over to Sodom and Sydney to... she's gone over to Sydney, and she's a very smart lady, and she's studying to get her PhD. She works in pharmaceuticals in mental health, and I reckon she's probably thinking right about now, Neil needs my help with some drugs. Any rate, Esther, you get up in the morning.
I'm here.
When you get up in the morning and you're just getting ready to go to do some work on your PhD, the Lord lifts up his countenance upon you.
Yeah.
He puts his arms about you. He guarantees you of his acceptance. He says, Esther, I'm focused on you. I'm focused on you alone because I've forgiven your sin. And I want you to know, that all my provision is available to you. And a beautiful thing, is it not? The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now I want to just take you to a verse of scripture which is so special and so beautiful. It's found in Zephaniah. That is a book of the Bible. Comes right after Genesis. Actually, it comes a long way after Genesis. And Zephaniah 3:17, the prophet says this, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. Is mighty. That's where the name El Elyon comes from, the mighty God. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. He sings over you.
Wow. Yeah.
God's focus on you, as he lifts up his countenance upon you, his focus on you, it causes him to rejoice with great joy because he's paid a terrible price for you. And you're not home yet, but the day will come when you do go home, and I want to assure you of something about that day. Once again, in the Psalm 116, tells us this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And when we look at the Hebrew word for precious, this is the moment that I'm going to redeem my precious child to come home, to leave the quagmire of earth and to come home and to stand in my presence and adore me. And it has the idea of God hovers over that moment. He protects that moment because that moment is so special to him when he comes and he takes you into the heavenly realms. This is all about the Lord lifting up his countenance upon you. That's cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the result? And give you shalom. Give you shalom. Most Fridays I try to remember to write to my Jewish friends and wish them Shabbat Shalom. And here's what Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat means seventh. That's the day of rest. When you add Shalom to that, what you are saying is, may you be filled with complete and perfect peace and be full of God's well-being. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say to someone?
No.
Another commentator has described it as this way: may health, prosperity, peace of mind and spirit be upon you. Basically the same thing, just said differently. So when I say Shalom to you, that's what I'm wishing you: a complete and perfect peace and a sense of being, a sense of well-being, full well-being, not just well-being, but full well-being in the presence of God. It's what it means to be, when the psalmist comes along and he writes the word, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. That first word of the entire 150 psalms, the first word, that's what it means. That's deeper. I got stuck into this and I thought, well, I'll just do one night and sort of rip through this psalm. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. I started studying this thing and I started looking at this word blessed, and I got deeper and deeper into it. And the Holy Spirit said to me, one word in one verse is probably more than you can even cope with. So you just stick with that and you'll be all right. I've been hanging out for 2 weeks to teach this thing. It's been killing me. So, any questions? No questions. Well, that either means I taught it really well or taught it so badly you can't even think of a question.
Maybe a comment. And I mean, how you've tied in his countenance.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. I love the definition that you gave to that.
Yeah, but it's good, isn't it?
Where you tied it into the Zephaniah and to the Psalms and how the Lord rejoices over us. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's just amazing to think that the God of the universe is focused on an ant like me. It's just amazing, and he's going to provide and he's going to take care of me, and the peace that brings is that it, as the scripture says, it passes understanding.
Doc, just to double check, the precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly saints. That's Psalm 116, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. 116:15.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, comforting. I've been in my work, I've been present a number of times at the death of one of God's saints. And that's how it is.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. And my sister went to heaven some years ago, and I went to visit her in hospital the day before she went to heaven, and she just very calmly turned to me and she said, when will Jesus come for me, dear? I said, oh, well, I don't know, you know. I don't get to make that decision, but, it'll be a wonderful thing when it happens. Wow. And she said, well, I'm just lying here waiting for him. She said, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, isn't it? Good friend of ours. I wasn't there at the time, a good friend of ours who died just last year. He's a bloke who was a great encouragement to us, and he said, somebody said to him, you know, how you doing, Terry? He said, well, look, mate, he said, it's like this. He said, God's got me number. He said, when he's ready, he'll call. 2 days later, off he went. And, I reckon probably he'd be making a fair bit of racket in heaven, that bloke. He's a pretty loud guy. So I'm not sure if God's going to allow him and me to get together because, you know, pretty loud guy too. Anyway, I think all that leaves us to do, my friends, is to say God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless, shalom.
It's great to see you all, and yes, shalom. God bless you and shalom. I